Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or some life issue you'd like to discuss, this is a great opportunity, because if you're hearing the broadcast at the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing it live, and we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's all about freedom this month, and Jesus said, if you know the word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and when the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. Yep. Well, when you come to Christ by faith, he sets you free. Indeed. You are free from sin and death. Now, here's the real problem. How are we going to handle this newfound freedom? We've never experienced that before as people. We were enslaved to sin and death. We were under the control of sin, walking in the ways of this world. Yeah. That was dictating what life was going to be like for us. And now we've been set free from that. We've been released. That's what forgiveness is all about, the release from those forces that held us captive. Yeah. So we've been set free. Now, how are we going to handle this new life of freedom? In my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, I looked at a study that the U.S. Department of Justice did on U.S. prisoners. They followed some 405,000 prisoners in 2005, and they followed them over a five-year period and said, what happens to them once they're released? Mm-hmm. So 405,000 prisoners released. Right. They were in jail. They were basically held captive there, mm-hmm. and then they were released. They were set free.
Yeah.
Well, now they have to figure out how to handle that freedom.
Right.
Well, guess what happened? Mm-hmm. Within 5 years, 77% were back in jail.
Wow.
77% of the 405,000 were back in jail. Why? Because they didn't know how to handle mm-hmm. this freedom that was now theirs.
Yeah.
Now, that's the same for believers. We've been set free, but we're not sure how to handle that. We're not sure how to live in that freedom.
Yeah.
We see that in the story of the Israelites. After the Exodus, after they had gone through the Red Sea and all the Egyptian army was destroyed behind them, and they go to dry land, they're a free people.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking in God's presence. God's presence is among them, and they're free. And they didn't know how to handle that. Why? Because they had been a part of a lifestyle where somebody else was dictating every aspect of it, when to get up, what food to eat, what to do during the day, when to go to sleep. And now all of that was their responsibility. It was something that they could decide as a people group. And they weren't very good at handling that freedom. They constantly turned back to Egypt.
Right.
Man, the food was good. We had plenty of it. And, you know, we didn't have to worry about all this stuff we're having to worry about here in the desert and all of those things. And so they kept looking back. And sometimes that's the case for us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what to do with this newfound freedom that we have in Christ. So we start looking back to what life was like when we were lost, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, when we were under the control of sin. It wasn't freedom, but at least somebody else was calling the shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just followed along with the currents of this world. We just jumped in, and those currents led us away. And now we're free. Well, there's a couple of things that we really need to remember as children of God, that this new life that we have, and indeed, we have a new life. We have Christ's life living inside of us. And so we have a new way to live in response to that truth, and that is a life of faith. When we were lost, faith wasn't a part of the equation.
Right.
But now we've been set free, and faith is our way of life as children of God. We are trusting in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. So we live out this life of faith in the world. So it's lived in the world, but it's not of the world. So we're living by faith in Jesus Christ, and all around us we see the ways of the world being carried out in people and in organizations and all sort of things. Mm-hmm. And so it's always around us. Right. That old way of life is always around us. The world system is always right there in front of us. So we have to remember that it's lived in this world, but it's not of the world.
Right.
The world only offered emptiness. And every time you tried to find substance out of the things of this world, it came up empty. Mm-hmm. There's only substance in Jesus. There's only life in Jesus. So if you're going to experience the abundant life here and now, you're going to have to experience it in the midst of this crazy world in which we live in.
Yeah.
So let me read a couple of passages to kind of underscore that. So Galatians 1:4 said this, that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Mm-hmm. So we were caught up in this present evil age. But now, because of Christ and the death that he died 2,000 years, he has delivered us from the grip of that present evil age according to the will of our God and our Father. So we're out of Egypt's grip.
Yeah.
We're fully led by the Spirit and under the control of the Spirit of God. In Colossians 1:13 and 14, we read this, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So this word redemption is about going into a slave market, buying somebody out of the slave market, and then setting them free so that they could walk in freedom.
Yeah.
That's what Christ did through his death. So he delivered us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of Christ Jesus. So we are a part of this kingdom, but it is surrounded by darkness.
Yeah, that's right.
So we become light in this world of darkness. And then the final passage that we're going to look at is this, Galatians 6:14. But far be it for me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Mm-hmm. So we're still in the world. And this new life that we have in Christ, this freedom that we can experience in Christ, is going to happen in this world, but it is not sourced by the world. So we need to keep our eyes fully on Jesus, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And when we do, we'll know how to handle this freedom that we have in him.
Yeah. Great admonition, Bob. And friends, if what you're hearing on Basic Gospel is good news to you as it is to us, well, we want you to be a part of it. We want you to have a part of the blessing of supporting this ministry. To say thanks for your generous gift this month, we want to send you our series, Living Life on the Edge. Now, this series and the accompanying booklet maps out the biblical way to handle the temptations of the world and the desires of the flesh. Donate today at BasicGospel.net and request your copy of Living Life on the Edge. Again, that's donate at BasicGospel.net. Well, open lines right now. If it's 8 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can speak directly with us right now at 844-322-2742, both in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Bob, this question came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hello, guys. I often want to give people the good news, but, you know, I'm kind of shy. I don't know what to say. I've read that God would put, you know, in the spirit of me, he would bring a divine interaction. I don't feel this happening. I don't hear this happening. I do talk to people once in a while, but I like to talk to more people. But when I go to speak, I can't. Can you help me with this? Thank you.
Well, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. And I think many of us are just scared to death to share our faith in Jesus Christ. But certainly the Word of God encourages us all to be ready to be able to give an answer for the hope that is within us. Mm-hmm. And so I think we just have to be familiar with the hope that is within us, and that's Christ Jesus himself. Yeah. We have to be familiar with what this good news story is all about and what it means to me. So in Christ, I have forgiveness of sins. So all of my sins have been forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus. So I am a forgiven person. I've been made right in God's sight. I've been given his righteousness. I've been made holy by the shed blood of Jesus. And he did all of that so that he could send his Spirit to take up residence in us. So we need to become familiar with the hope that is within us. Yeah. And I think we just, when we interact with people, and instead of trying to make it sound theological and give it kind of a theological edge as far as what this gospel story is all about, I think we need to make it personal,
yeah,
the hope that is within us. And I think you can share some conversations about your own story. You can talk to a person about, here's what I've experienced. You know, we're having this conversation, and I just want you to know that when I took a look at the Bible and I took a look at what Christ did, I found out that he had taken away my sins. And boy, I lived in a lot of guilt, and that burden was just lifted. And maybe you're looking for some forgiveness. Well, it's available to you in the person of Jesus Christ. He already died. He already stood in your place and took your sins upon himself. And so I think you can just make it more of a personal interaction. Mm-hmm. Don't look for a feeling. Just look at that person from God's perspective and recognize how much God loves that person. And the fact that God loves that person as much as he loves you.
Yeah.
And I think when you see that, I think the conversations can become more natural, mm-hmm, to you. So don't look for a feeling. It's not going to come. The enemy is going to make sure that you're not going to have that feeling.
Yeah.
And then when you don't have that feeling, you're going to feel guilty, more guilty, because you don't have that feeling. Mm-hmm. And you think, what's wrong with me? Well, nothing's wrong with you. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. You have a personal relationship with him. You have the hope within you. So just share that hope.
Yeah.
And do it in a conversational way. And I think you'll see the power of the gospel take over in those conversations.
Indeed. Well, again, friends, open lines, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Yesterday, Bob Papp posted a new video on YouTube. What happens when we die is a question that we all have at some point in our lives, and we won't know the answer. So if you have the opportunity to go to that YouTube channel, the Basic Gospel YouTube channel, and check out the video, I hope you'll do it. You know, beyond that, I hope you'll share it with your friends. I posted it basically on my Facebook page as well, and I hope that you will do that as well, because this message is too important for us to just sit on. So we encourage you to share it as you can. All right, had another call that came in over hours. Let's listen.
This is Joy from California, and I'm reading in the book of Proverbs today, 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. And I wonder, how do I know if I have a haughty heart? I have a horribly destructive disease in my body. And maybe I have a haughty heart that has attracted this kind of disease. Could you help me to find ways of understanding if I have a haughty heart and how to get rid of it? I don't want to be haughty or proud, but I know we're prone to that as human beings. Thank you very much.
Well, Joy, a couple of things that are important for us to understand. If you've received the gospel, you've received it because you've had a humble heart. God gives grace to the humble. He rejects the proud.
Yeah.
So if you've received the good news of Jesus Christ, you did so through a heart of humility. You recognized your need. You recognized truth, that you were dead in sin, that you were a sinner, and that you needed Christ to do something for you that you could not do for yourself. So that truth humbled your very heart and brought you to the point where you would receive his gift of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So you can recognize that God has already given you a humble heart. Now, as far as this passage in Proverbs, it says, before a downfall, the heart is haughty. And I think that's talking about not sickness, not the body getting sick or that sort of thing. I just think it's talking about, you know, somebody that's has a lot of wealth and they're proud about their things that they have. And as it says, they imagine that that's a wall too high to scale, that they have security, that they're proud of that, and they're resting in their wealth. And so they are looking and saying, hey, I don't need anything else. I don't need you, God. I don't need what you are offering. And so that proud heart, when you encounter the world's trials and tribulations, you're going to experience a fall.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joy, I don't think you need to look and say, hey, is there some pride in my heart that brought about this illness? In John chapter 9, there was someone born blind, and so the religious leaders were asking, you know, whose sin brought this about? Was it his parents? Was it his own? Whose sin brought this about? And Jesus said it wasn't anybody's. This was here for the glory of God. And so he healed the blind man, and it was a powerful miracle. So I don't think you need to look and say, hey, is there something that I did to bring this about? And it's interesting, if you go on down to Proverbs 18:14, it says the human spirit can endure in sickness. And you see people that do that. They endure in sickness. Now, a lot of times pain, it gets so bad, that it just consumes your mind. It just consumes your thinking. And you think, hey, I'll never get out from underneath this. But the human spirit can rise up and endure in that sickness. And the reason it can is because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. You know that this sickness does not separate you from the love of God. You know this sickness doesn't change what Christ has accomplished for you through his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
Joy, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. It can be a struggle sometimes. And friends, again, if you're struggling every day trying to be a Christian and understanding these things, well, there's a better way. We invite you to the Simply Grace Conference, a live seminar featuring Bob Christopher, designed to strengthen your faith in who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and how to live in his love every day. Whether you live in the United States or Canada or elsewhere in the world, we invite you to Simply Grace, Friday evening and Saturday, September 6th and 7th. All the information is online for registration, for location and time and all that. It's online at basicgospel.net/events. Again, that's basicgospel.net/events for information on the September Simply Grace Conference. We hope you'll be a part of it.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Austin, Texas, and talk to Randy. Hi, Randy.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
I'm blessed and grateful. How about you?
same way, and that's a great response. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah,
Matt, well, I got the Holy Spirit, and I know where I'm going when I leave this body, and that just brings me such joy and gratitude no matter what's going on in my life.
Well, that's fantastic, and that's what truth does for a person, isn't it? It gives us hope. It gives us just this air of victory, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ has accomplished. So, well, what's on your mind today?
Well, we know that the Lord at some point in future history is going to create a new heavens, a new earth. And a question occurred to me just the other day, will he be completely destroying this earth and giving us a brand new planet, or will he rebuild the current earth? And I guess by extension, will he be rebuilding the universe or making a whole new one, new galaxies, new stars, new sun, new moon?
Well, I think he's just going to redeem it. We see that in, you know, Paul's great argument in Romans chapter 8, that all of creation groans for what we as the children of God are going to experience one day in the future. And with that, there's going to be a setting free of this whole creation, so to speak. So I think it's just a redemption of the current heavens and earth. So like when you are made new in Christ, you become a new creation, don't you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's you've been, that spirit of yours has been made alive together with Christ. Christ has come to live inside of you. That old man was crucified, and now you're walking in the newness of life. Okay? Mm-hmm. So God redeemed you, Randy, and he didn't crush you and you know, start all over again. Right. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. He redeemed you from sin and death. He made your spirit alive, and he sent his spirit to join yours. And I think in the same way, that's what he's going to do with the new heavens and the new earth. They're going to be cleansed, redeemed, set free from those forces of darkness.
Well, I really appreciate that, gentlemen.
Well, you are welcome. And like I said, that's how I see it. You may, dive in a little more and come to some different conclusions. But as I see it, that's how it's going to work. And I would point you to Romans 8. And I think that's a wonderful chapter that really talks about all of creation and how it's going to be set free.
Thank you, sir.
You are Thanks, welcome, Randy. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, Bob, a question from Lisa, who views on Facebook. 1 Corinthians 15:27-28 seem to point out or put Jesus under God the Father, but I thought his status as co-equal with God was restored when he returned to heaven. Would you please explain?
Well, it didn't need to be restored. Jesus is always the Son. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. But there was a point in time where he did not think equality with God was something to be grasped, so he humbled himself and became a servant and became obedient even to the point of death. Mm-hmm. So that's what Jesus did. But when he was in human flesh, he was fully God and fully man.
Yeah.
That's the mystery. Mm-hmm. So he was still God the Son, but he was also fully man. And that's just what the Bible reveals. So it's not that his status has changed or been restored. It's never been anything other than what it's always been.
Yeah.
It just at a point in time. But the passage that she's talking about is, it says, when he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. So he has reconciled all things unto Christ. Christ is going to present it to God the Father, and that's what this passage is all about.
Okay.
So I hope that helps.
Very good. Well, friends, don't forget that we stream live video to Facebook and YouTube every day. We want you to be a part of the growing number of people who join us and take a look inside the studio every day and see our happy faces proclaiming the truth of God and his word and the Lord Jesus Christ. So do take advantage of that. We pray that what you hear every day on Basic Gospel is helping to shape your understanding of the truth of God's love in Jesus. And you're invited to be here with us again tomorrow at the same time as we continue in our Friday study series, an excellent series it is. It's called The Power of Eight. And in the meantime, please prayerfully consider supporting Basic Gospel to help us keep this message of grace in Jesus Christ going forward. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift today if you can. Again, basicgospel.net. That's the place to go to make your contribution. And when you arrive there click that donate button, we'll be happy to send you a copy of our series called Living Life on the Edge, a wonderful series that Bob has created. We want you to have a copy of it as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. If you have a question later today or overnight, leave us a voicemail. 844-322-2742 is the number to call. Again, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. You can also email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the entire ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, and we hope you'll be here tomorrow for the study, The Power of Eight on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.